Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike's show.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, so here's what happened last time. I go to Joe. RotoWire reaches out to us, which we like, and I go to Joe. This Mario Puig is good. Let's get Mario. See if we can get Mario Puig. So we do, and we talk to Mario Puig, and afterward we go out. We go to commercial break, and Bulldog goes, "That guy is good, right?" That's what you did, right?
That's exactly what happened.
Okay, yes. Mario, no pressure. Welcome back.
Thanks so much.
One player I think we talked about in our first conversation was Alex Collins, because we were talking about draft strategy a little bit. And, of course, Baltimore roughed up the Bills in week one. Collins got in the end zone but didn't play very much. And they play tonight. Yeah. And there seems to be a lot of Buck Allen love tonight. Can you explain, how do you see Baltimore's backfield going into this game here?
Well, it got a bit thinned out right off the bat because Kenneth Dixon, who carried the ball quite a bit on Sunday, he's on IR again. So it's just Javorius Allen and Alex Collins for the most part. So that opens up things a little bit for Javorius. But basically, he's the passing down specialist. Like, he's the guy who, maybe in hurry-up situations, he plays a little bit more. But the rest of the time, it's like he picks up the scraps of with Collins leaves it behind, and he plays off the bench as a pass catcher. So I'm not personally that high on him. I thought he was a good player at USC, and he certainly has good hands. He knows how to play in passing situations. He's not explosive, though. And I think the Bengals' defense might be pretty decent. They didn't play great last week, but a lot of those yardage numbers that you saw for Andrew Luck, that was just because he threw like 50 passes or something like that. So I don't think Allen is the kind of guy who's normally explosive enough to produce against a defense that's competent like this one. But if you're in a league that gives you a point per reception, and that's where Allen is really useful because he's the kind of guy who can get you, you know, five or six catches in a game. If he does that on your flex spot in a PPR league, that could be, you know, 10, 12 easy points for not much cost. So that's where he's useful, if he's useful, but it's Collins who I think is easily ahead of him.
Would you generally temper any enthusiasm about Baltimore skill players here, running backs, the receivers, had a nice day because of the kind of game that was?
Well, I think that Collins will get a much bigger workload in any other game. Like, it was over in the first quarter pretty much, and they didn't really work him after that. In this game, it's going to be something, I think, more like 20 touches from scrimmage, you know, maybe 17 carries, three catches, something like that. It's probably not going to be an easy game for him, but he still probably has one of the better running back projections in any given week just because of that workload he can get. And especially if it's a game where you think the Ravens are going to win, it almost always has to have something to do with Collins. So he's a guy who's just going to be in play almost any week, regardless of the matchup. So if you own him, you probably want to keep him in your lineup unless you're just very rich at running back. The receivers who made plays for Baltimore last week, it's a little harder to project them. You'd think Crabtree is going to get all the target volume over the longer sample, but John Brown's more explosive. Willie Snead showed a little bit last week. I wouldn't want to play any of the three this week against the Bengals. But Crabtree is the guy who, especially in point per reception leagues, who's going to give you the most reliable output, probably.
You know, Mario, the show that precedes ours each weekday, called One Bills Live, had a poll today asking Twitter followers, have your expectations for this Bills season changed after week one? I can't imagine any fantasy writer or broadcaster saying yes, because all I did all summer was hear guys like yourself say, look out about this Bills, at least about the offense. And there you had that game Sunday, one of their all-time worst losses. I wonder, though, if maybe McCoy, like, would you consider McCoy at a certain price, maybe like a especially low price right now? I mean, are people convinced that he has, should have been less expensive now based on how the season has started? Or would you just, you know, generally speaking, at least avoid the whole thing?
Well, McCoy's had a weird market ever since that, and I still don't know what to make of it, but that whole legal issue that came up, which seems to have passed him by, it seems like it's not actually an issue at this point. So that was what deflated his price initially, and people got pretty good deals on him if you play 16 games. Like, the guy who gets the ball as much as he's going to get the ball, if you get him in the fifth round of a fantasy draft, like, even if he's on a bad offense, that's probably going to work out just fine, because the other fifth-round running backs you're looking at are guys who get, you know, 12 carries a game or something like that. So if LeSean McCoy stays healthy, stays in the lineup, he'll have his good games eventually. Last week was just an impossibly bad set of circumstances to work within, and I think it's safe to say he'll get better going forward. So in that sense, yeah, he actually could be a pretty good buy-low target. It just might be one of those things where everyone kind of knows already, like, he's going to have better games going forward.
How about Pittsburgh? I mean, there's really not much more Bill stuff to talk about here, right? I mean, there's just, like, not even Charles Clay with a catch in week one. Let's just not.
Unless he got anything on Josh Allen going in. I don't know.
Let's just not. How about the biggest question going is Bell and Connor. Who would you rather have right now on your roster?
Yeah, that's a tough one. It's a pretty unprecedented case, or at least I can't remember a case quite like it. And it's hard to tell at this point, A, what Le'Veon Bell's goals even are, and what, you know, B, you know, the Steelers are willing to accommodate for those goals. Like, there's all these calculations people are making about, you know, look at the best way for Le'Veon Bell to maximize his earnings. If he wants to make the most money this year, he has to report by this day at this time or something. And the problem might be that, I mean, we don't know if he even cares. Like, he might just consider himself well-financed and might just be saying, making a statement, basically, like, look, I'm not going to fold to your team's demands just because, you know, you have a CBA that let you corner my rights as a player. And maybe he's just saying, you know, whatever, I won't kneel for this. And it's hard to guess what his motivations are. So if you're an owner of Connor, I would say at the very least don't trade him, because right now you might get another, you know, top five running back production out of him for however long he's out there, and we don't know how long he's going to be out there. I guess I would have to say, if I had to pick one of the two for the rest of the year, I would say Bell, but that's only because it kind of just seems impossible that he won't play this year. The problem is I don't have much evidence that he won't. Mm-hmm. It would be unprecedented if it went that way. So if you can get Bell for cheap, and especially if it's not going to hurt your competitiveness in the meantime, it's something to think about, but I haven't gone after him. I kind of feel like the whole market is too easily miscalibrated, and it's too easy to make the wrong call on it. So my nature is to kind of just leave it alone if I have either of those guys.
So you wouldn't, like, what popped into my head as you were talking there, I have Le'Veon Bell, and I thought to myself, who's got Connor? And I think I know the guy that's got Connor. Would I trade Bell for Connor right now? Like, I don't know, I'm asking Mario. Like, it sounds like you think that would be a bad idea. Right.
I mean, I can't exactly say it's a bad idea, because it's so hard to know where the whole thing is going. But just because I can't remember another player of certainly Bell's, you know, sort of reputation, just kind of sitting out a whole year, it just feels impossible, but I can't really prove that it is.
It feels to me like the receiver Joey Galloway back, like, I don't know how long ago, I feel like he took this for a drive at some point. Like, that he was out, he ran into a season pretty far, and then came back and got the season accrued.
I remember Vincent Jackson doing that, and he, I think, like, sat out six games or something like that. But in his case, he needed to get another year of league service to become a free agent.
Right.
That was a free agent either way.
Like, right.
He doesn't need to report for anything other than the checks. But the thing is, he is losing a lot of money. He's getting fined, and he's not getting paid. So in that sense, it kind of seems like it's still plenty enough motivation for him to get back soon. But you would think that same reasoning would have applied to a week ago. So it's hard to tell if he said, like, if he's got, like, a cutoff point where he's like, I'm willing to eat the money for 3-4 weeks or something, and then I'll come back. That could be what his plan is, but there's just no way to know right now.
It makes for an interesting dilemma, perhaps, for every fantasy football player, because whether you have one of those two guys or not, you can still get in on it. And it may be, for me, it comes down to the rest of my team. If I'm in trouble with Bell, I need to do something. I mean, by a week or two from now, I will need to have done something. And if I have Connor, but I also have two, you know, good running backs from the beginning of my draft, like, what, Kamara or McCaffrey, like just guys that were picked earlier, then maybe I'm like, okay, well, give me, I don't know, who. Somebody might give you like A.J. Green or somebody like that for him. And
I might describe myself as in trouble. But we'll see.
Because,
well,
I've
got
trouble.
McCoy.
All right. So Mario, Bulldog and I will sort this out
later. We'll have to talk about it more. We won't bore you with all of it.
If a couple of guys that are injury risks for this week that could be difficult to figure out here, Fournette and Aaron Rodgers. Maybe both guys go right to Sunday, and Fournette is a late game. I don't know if Rodgers is. Maybe he's not. So what would be your strategy here generally on in those kind of situations, and then also maybe these two players?
Well, Rodgers has an early game, so if you need to make the last-second call on that one, you'll be able to as necessary. But, yeah, Fournette, like you said, is a later game. And that, the Fournette one is tough because he already has a history of playing without practicing. So even if you go to Friday and he's still not in practice, if the team doesn't rule him out, then it doesn't mean that he can't play. So it's a tough call, and I don't know what I would tell someone in that situation other than try to get T.J. Yeldon if you haven't already. Maybe try to get Corey Grant if you missed out on Yeldon. Because otherwise, you know, 425 and later, not many plausible running back subs to go for. And, I can't really, looking at that slate there, I can't really advise any of the running backs on those teams. And after that, you just got Giants, Dallas, Seattle, Chicago. So the running back options, if Fournette doesn't play, are very limited. So definitely in a case like that, check with guys like, you know, Adam Schefter, Jay Glazer on Twitter to see if they've got inside intel. Because sometimes guys like that will get a report that the team doesn't give them, but it still kind of lets out the word, like, he's not playing or he is playing. So look for that. But the Fournette one's a tough call. With Rodgers, I would probably just see if you could get an alternative, because even if he does, he'll play, I think. First of all, I think he's going to play.
Okay.
But playing against the Vikings is brutal. But if you can't get a good alternative to Rodgers, I think you can pretty much assume he'll be out there. And if that changes, you're going to hear a lot about it well in advance of the kickoff.
The follow-up question I would have had if you had been less of the mind that he would play is there anyone in that game? Maybe for me, the answer is Dalvin Cook. Is there anyone in that game you would not downgrade if Rodgers weren't going to play in it? Last year we saw Brett Hundley replace Rodgers, and it almost just negated all the Packers. And, you know, what am I going to get out of Stephon Diggs if they're playing against Kaiser and it's 20-3? Or it's like that Baltimore game last year in Green Bay. So what would you do with the rest of it if Rodgers did not go?
Well, if Rodgers is out, I wouldn't really consider guys like Cobb or Geronimo Allison. Devontae Adams was able to play well with Hundley last year. Maybe you leave him in that case. But if you're using the Vikings guys, I would just use them as normal, because one part of it is that the Green Bay defense looks like it might be pretty decent this year, so it might not be that easy for the Vikings to run up the score. And if they do run up the score, it's probably because of guys that you would have suspected to have playing a big role in that. Like, if they put up points, Thielen and Diggs probably had a good game. And Cook was very active last week. He apparently didn't have any soreness or anything after the game with that knee. So I think they're going to lean on him. But it's one of those things where if you're in season-long leagues, you probably just got to start them and just kind of not get your hopes up too high. But the odds of you having a better alternative are pretty low, I think.
Any reason to consider taking a flyer on any of the new receivers that New England brought in? Burkhead's a little dinged up.
It's a weird situation, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm wondering. I mean, Gronk, of course, is still, but I guess I'm thinking about Corey Coleman even.
Yeah, it's tough because against that team, the Jags, I can't really advise any of those guys. Yeah. I think the pass catchers that are involved are going to be the ones you saw last week. Hogan probably does a little bit more, just because his odds are going to bounce back anyway. But Dorsett, I think, is pretty real deal. I expect him to be involved. So it's a bad matchup, but if you're looking for a pass catcher there, it's pretty much just Gronk and Dorsett. I don't think those new guys could really get up to speed at this point.
Mario Puig of RotoWire for a few more minutes here on WGR. Ezekiel Elliott, and then maybe also David Johnson. running backs, high first-round running backs, where questions are being asked, in some areas questions were already being asked about Elliott. What's your confidence level on both guys?
Well, Ezekiel Elliott's going to get the ball. We know that. And eventually, odds are he'll get to, you know, about 100 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown or two. But I don't think he's going to average better than something like 4 yards a carry this year. And they don't throw to him nearly as much as David Johnson gets thrown to. So I still have Johnson ahead of him. I have Johnson ahead of him. Basically, since that Travis Frederick diagnosis was made, that's a big loss for Dallas. So David Johnson, I think, bounces back. Still is a bit of a tough matchup this week in the sense that you would think the Cardinals will fall behind right away. But he also had something like 9 targets last week. So he'll have a big receiving day eventually. This setting is a fine one. So David Johnson I'm not worried about, but it would be nice to see his offense get going a little.
What do you think happens with Jameis Winston when his suspension runs out in 2 weeks? And is it maybe going to, I think probably to some extent, yes, come down to what happens between now and then?
Yeah. I mean, if Fitzpatrick has a bad game up to that point, then that'll settle itself. But it can't really be taken for granted after the way he played against the Saints. I mean, the Saints defense had a letdown, of course, but Fitzpatrick played legitimately well. And the thing is, and I didn't see this coming this year, but Todd Monken took over the play calling for the Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm.
Previously, it was Dirk Cutter, who seemed in way over his head. So they switched to Monken, who was really good at Southern Mississippi, I think it was, in the NCAA. So he's got a history of getting good output like that. It might continue. And if it does, they're just, I don't know if they can mess with that formula, you know? So I'm not taking it for a given that Winston takes that back over.
That's good for Godwin, isn't it?
Yeah, and just Deshaun Jackson might be out this week.
Mm-hmm.
So Godwin could get more targets in the short term from that. But, yeah, it seemed like Monken took them to more of like a three-receiver approach, whereas last year they were a lot of two tight end with Brayton Howard. Now it looks like it's more like Deshaun Jackson and Chris Godwin with a three-receiver, less of a two tight end.
Tight end was dicey all summer for drafts. Now we've lost Greg Olsen and Delanie Walker already. Maybe Olsen not for too long, but at least for a while. And so their replacements, you got Ian Thomas out of Indiana with the Panthers and Jonnu Smith in Tennessee. Who do you like more, and are either like what are either worth to you?
It's a tough call. I think I probably wouldn't want either in my starting lineup in most leagues. But Jonnu would be the one if either. He was a pretty good prospect coming out of Florida International. Very productive there. Very good athlete. The Titans should run a lot of plays, even if they're not very good. So I can see Jonnu having a pretty good year. Thomas is not as good of a prospect as Jonnu, and he's a year less with experience and is in the offense with less targets for him. So I'm not really on Thomas, but I think Smith could be a real player.
Do you value Colts skill players, receivers, tight ends a little more now that Luck looks like Luck again?
Well, he looks like he can't throw downfield very well anymore. He might be able to make it work anyway because he's still smart, still accurate. He can still make plays with his legs. So it's definitely good for the offense, everyone in the offense, that he's back. I don't know where I expect the offense to go exactly because what happened last week can't keep happening. They can't keep throwing the ball 50-plus times a game. They can't keep having guys average just 8 yards a catch. They need to start going downfield a little more. So the thing is, if T.Y. Hilton doesn't do it, I can't see any of those guys doing it. Like Eric Ebron is faster than Ryan Grant and Chester Rogers, maybe even the second and third receivers. So it's going to be a short offense going forward. It's not going to go downfield a whole lot. But Ryan Grant, heavily targeted. Chester Rogers could do a little bit, but it's generally going to be Rogers or Ebron. It's not going to be Doyle and Grant and Rodgers and Ebron. It's probably only two or three.
Hey, Mario, last thing. Just what's your feeling on the Bills at this point? I mean, do you see them? Well, the question I'm thinking of is that the worst team in the NFL? Like, what do you think the odds are that they are?
Looks pretty good. But, I mean, I thought Josh Allen looked okay when he came off the bench. If they can keep him upright over the next few weeks, they got a couple of tough matchups coming up. He could improve over the course of the year, and in the meantime, it looks like he's an upgrade over Peterman. So, you know, knock on wood, it looks like the worst might have happened already. So maybe it can only get better for them.
Nice. Nice way to end it.
Well, we'll take that.
Any questions for us, Mario?
Not really. I mean, thanks for having me on the show. I'd love to do it again sometime.
Okay, we'll certainly ask. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Mario Puig of RotoWire. Packers. I think he's in, I should have asked, because I wanted to know. I think he's in Wisconsin.
Oh.
Which would make him...
an expert on the Packers?
Right. An authority on Rodgers' status.
That's how it goes.
You know, like when people call us and say, guys, I'm in Tennessee. So I'm the one who can tell you about this player at Tennessee that you're talking about.
Right.
From draft season. I would know.
You tell that I was fishing for hopefully something optimistic about Jack Doyle there, by the way.
I didn't notice that. I don't know your roster as well as you do.
Yeah, well, that,
Jack Doyle?
I can't imagine why. You've only got 18 of your own to pay attention to.
Bell or Connor is really good. And really, like, no matter whether you have those guys or not, you can get in on it.
Bauquez Connor.
You have Bell in ours. And so would you trade Bell for Connor? I don't know. That's what he said, too. Like, I don't know.
Right, like, right now. You know, I sort of was, you know, we decided to draft him, Bell. Not high. I mean, forgot it wasn't on a team at the time. I guess it was high, but, like, it wasn't the first round or anything. It was, you know, 14th overall. Like, okay. I kind of was thinking, all right, he's not going to play this week. He probably shows up next week. Like, he made his point. Like, I stayed away. Now I'm going to come back.
And look at what Connor did.
Right.
And he still didn't show up.
Connor went off, and he's still not there. And, like, okay. You know, like, 1 week, I'm thinking, you're coming back. You get to 2 weeks, like, 2 weeks becomes 8 weeks real quick to me. You know, like, in my head, it's like, okay, I guess he's not coming. What do I do now?
I guess he doesn't need the money.
Right.
Right? That's what Mario said, is you don't know how badly he is hurting, you know? I'll give you one comparison. No comparison's just right, I think. But there's one that comes a little bit close, and there's a Bills tie to it. Bell and Connor in Pittsburgh. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here on some fantasy stuff, but of course also on Josh Allen getting his first start and what we've been talking about all week. Sean McDermott, 803-0550 for us here on WGR.
I think that he's done a lot of communicating with us in terms of seeing our side of things and trying to figure out what management can do, coaches can do to make our relationship mend better, and they've done a wonderful job, I think. That's one of the things that, you know, I feel more confident now than I have ever been. I think there's that open line of communication, and if you have something that's bothering you, you get it off your chest. If you think that we need to change something around the room, whatever it may be.
Jack Eichel and the Sabres are at it again. Meaning, like, playing again. Practicing. And whatnot.
Games next week. Monday at Columbus. Tuesday at home against the Penguins. These are real games with the real tomato ketchup Sabres. And Blue Jackets and Penguins.
Sort of.
Right. Well, there'll be NHL players in these games as opposed to last weekend, which was all prospects.
In our ticket draft, we had, the way it went, there were 8 pairs of regular season tickets, like basically the last 8 that went unpicked at the real draft.
Mm-hmm.
And then 16 pairs of tickets for the preseason games, 8 for each. They only have 2 at home, which is nice. And so it's 24 pairs of tickets, and we are in the process of sorting all those out. Mm-hmm. And when it came to be my turn, I had to decide, do I want like a, just call it like a Florida game, basically. You know what those are. Sometimes they're literally Florida games. Sometimes they're other teams, but they're Florida games. The Islanders kind of are in this category on a Tuesday, and it's freezing out.
I gotta modify a Tuesday against Nashville because, like, Nashville's hot. But right. That was always my thing, like the dog days of hockey, like just a Tuesday against Nashville. Who's going to that? Like, I don't know. I don't know if that makes a big difference here, but, like, Nashville playing anybody I want to see now. But anyway, that used to be my joke for a long time.
So I had to choose between... say, just to make it interesting, that the worst regular season game or the like the good, best seats for the preseason,
right.
Preseason games. What would you do? Pittsburgh and Toronto. Like, I had the option of front row seats to either of those or, like, still very good seats to there's a January game against the Panthers.
Right. I think I would do the January game against the Panthers. Your seats are all so...
They're all good.
They're all good, so it's not... I think I would do that. I would do the real game.
That is what I chose, but it wasn't easy. Like, it wasn't an easy choice. You are sitting in the front row, and you're seeing guys in Leaf uniforms or Penguin uniforms, not to mention the Sabres. You wouldn't know which games like Dahlin or Eichel would play.
Or Austin Matthews or Crosby. Sidney Crosby. And
exactly.
Brett Malkin. Right, right.
So I did what you would do.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, we'll be at 716 on Tuesday.
Yes.
I hope they know we're coming.
It was nice talking to Mario Puig, a little fantasy football. Get your lineups in for tonight, the Thursday night game, Baltimore at Cincinnati. I like the game. I always like the Thursday night game, almost. Fantasy is part of the reason why. I like Cincinnati a lot. They're not favored by much. If I had to bet the game, I definitely would be on Cincinnati's side. But that shouldn't, don't take that seriously. No one knows. So
I usually don't like the Thursday night game, but I like this game.
You do?
I'm like you. The Bengals, I think, are impressive. They look like they could be fun this year.
And if Baltimore is good tonight, then they'll be a team that gets talked about a lot because they, of course, did what they did to the Bills Sunday. And also in the fantasy genre here, so the Guillotine League. I tweeted you an invite.
Right.
And the other night.
I knew it was fantasy related because, you were talking or tweeting about it, so it had to be. It had to be that. So I knew.
Or Sunset.
Right. One of those two things. I'll stop. So it's that. But I tweeted back at you, I really don't know what this is. And I didn't. Owen was tagged in that because you said to me to try to lure me in to it. You said, think about all the fun you and Owen had watching Monday Night Football, which was true. I talked on the show on Tuesday about how Owen and I were really pulling for Marvin Jones and we were yelling and screaming at the TV. And it was fun. Like, for real. Not even, make-believe fun. We enjoyed it. So you tagged him in it. So he gets off the ice at practice and he sees the tweet as we're driving home. He's just like, what's a guillotine? What is all this? I have no idea, honestly. You see my response? I really don't know. He said, here, I'll Google it. I said, no. It's better if I don't know. That way we can let it play out on the air. I really don't know what it is.
So this is that happening?
This is what is a guillotine? I have no idea what it is.
I had what the light bulb. I had a eureka moment for all the drafts and all the time spent on fantasy leading up to the season. Then the season starts and that's all over. Mm-hmm. The page is turned. Now it's lineups and games. A guillotine league is a league where you could have, if you started it in time for week one, you could have 17 players. Or you could have fewer and just end it, frame it any way you want. Each week, the person with the lowest score is eliminated.
Oh,
and,
I see.
And their players go to waivers.
Oh.
And there's a lot of leagues, not GR's league, but there's a bidding period, in the middle of the week. Where you bid on players.
I want to be clear that was a genuine O.
That was a genuine O.
That was not a patronizing, sarcastic O.
Last place each week eliminated. All their players go to free agency, so there would be a lot of strategy in, Odell Beckham is on waivers this week because the last place team has Odell Beckham. How much do I want to bid on Odell Beckham? Do I keep my money? In every fantasy league where there's a free agent budget, there is that strategy. Only Joe and I last night were figuring out how much to bid on Philip Lindsay.
Yeah, I don't even know who the hell that is.
Or the tight ends we talked about with Mario, right? That's what this week is.
Right.
That, in the guillotine, it's Odell Beckham.
Right.
Or Todd Gurley, or whoever.
That's a little more interesting.
And every week it gets more interesting. Because maybe the guy who picked up Beckham loses the next week and he's back on waivers with Kamara, or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Guillotine. And the eureka idea was, let's have this draft at the tailgate. Sunday morning,
Whose tailgate?
What? Somebody's tailgate.
Jeremy's?
Sure.
We go to Jeremy's camper?
Yeah, if he would let us. This was Monday night, I think, this idea. Monday or Tuesday night?
Tuesday night.
Tuesday night. We have 12 or 14 players, guillotine draft. You don't need to start it before the beginning of the season. You can start it right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we'd be doing. So, Sunday morning, guillotine draft, and it's winner take all. You have to be the last one standing to win. And we'd all be learning about it. So, guys I know with fantasy, we've talked about it a little bit. You'd put a pretty modest price tag on it, and, it'd be fun to sort of to try it. And that was it. So, I tweeted you and a few friends, let's just do all, and no one wanted to. Some people like the idea of doing this league, and we may still do one, but we're not doing one Sunday.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely... No, I definitely don't want to do it. I definitely don't want to get there early enough Sunday to do it. I know that. So I may be coming from Canada, and I just don't. So I don't want to commit to that. That's one. Two is that's another fantasy team. Like I don't know. Like, I'm already borderline miserable with this one I've got now.
You're maxed out at one.
I'm in pain over here.
PPR Guillotine League or PPR? You draft right now. You start your league right now. Let's go. Gurley is still one or Kamara?
No, Gurley.
Gurley, then Kamara. Maybe?
I like Barkley a lot.
Or Barkley? Okay.
I think I would. You know, I would go not Kamara. Bell. I would go Kamara then Barkley. No, definitely not. Bell.
No, not obviously Bell. Not Bell. I bet definitely it's not Elliott.
No.
What about Johnson? Is his stock up, stock down since
maybe slightly down
a month ago?
I would keep him ahead of Elliott.
They
those
look
two,
like they could be really, really bad. I mean, that has to affect the
Cardinals.
Yeah.
Oh,
they look like they could be bad.
Okay. Then you know Brown, right? He's fine. Antonio Brown is fine.
James Conner.
Is James Conner a first-round pick? No.
No, but...
Second? Where does James Conner go if you're drafting tonight?
My instinct says late second round.
Before or after McCaffrey? Who would you rather have rest of the year starting right now, McCaffrey or James Conner?
McCaffrey.
Devonta Freeman or James Conner? I think Connor for me.
I think Connor. Freeman, Connor. Freeman, there's always the chance he's going to be and splitting with
Coleman.
What's his name? Coleman. Right.
Freeman is hurt this week.
Yep.
Connor or McCoy? This is what.
This is his territory.
This is what I live for.
I'll take Connor.
This is what I live for. These debates, these conversations are what I live for. Keep drafting.
What a life.
Guillotine.
Mark. And I traded him for Mark Ingram.
You traded him for Mark Ingram. We did it on the air, and I liked it. It was I suggested
it.
Well, you still could make out.
But it's not looking good.
It's up to Bell. Who knows how big his house is? Le'Veon Bell. Like it's just up to him. He has a lot of power, in a sense.
Sure.
In another sense, the Steelers like you can come back, whatever.
Right.
We might not play you. We might not care.
Well, he has power over fantasy is what he has. I don't think he has any power over the Steelers. They, whatever. We got a guy. We're just as good when this guy plays or anybody else plays, really.
It's true.
Like, do they know that, I think.
So, if they know that, can they still take that franchise tag away? Like, if they know that, can't they rescind that? They said they wouldn't. Last week when they were asked about it, they said they wouldn't
do
that. So
that implies that they have the option to do it then.
It did last week, but I don't know if that's only before the season starts.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
But that is a really fascinating situation, and I feel like any football fan should know the stuff about the Steelers with and without Le'Veon Bell. Like, you need to have that for your conversations about this sport, how performance-wise the Steelers have just about been the same. Whether it was D'Angelo Williams or James Conner or anybody else, with Bell not there. And it's like the definitive point about running backs and value.
Yards rushing, points scored, they pass the ball better, go figure, because they don't have this mule running back, although they fed Conner like crazy, which I thought they would in the opener, and they did. But it's hard. On one hand, you look at the player and go, like, he's elite. He does everything as well or better than almost anyone in the entire league. Why doesn't it matter more?
Prove to me how he makes his team better, right? Like, show me the numbers. Why wouldn't his team score a lot more often, more yards, all that, when Bell plays? Why wouldn't that be true? Who's James Conner? Was he a third-round pick? You know? We've made this point probably 10,000 times on this show. Darnold or Barkley? Right? Like, here are the Giants. They're so excited about Barkley. The GM is up there mocking anybody who just, like, they're in their basement on their computer, right? How about right now? Right now, Darnold or Barkley? Darnold! I think.
100%.
John Clayton coming up in 15 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
It's Throwback Thursday.
Second and 15, that clock continues to run. Bills have one timeout, and look at Carlos Williams, bangs into the end zone. 26 yards on the rushing score from the rookie out of Florida State.
That is a clip from a Bills game played 3 years ago today, the home opener in 2015 against Indianapolis. We're going to play some Throwback Thursday trivia right now, thanks to our friends at Taco Bell. We need listeners to tweet their answer to the question we're about to ask at WGR550 using hashtag TacoBellTBT.
That's very important.
Oh,
all of those things need to be present for your opportunity to win. You got to tweet at WGR550, and you need to use the hashtag TacoBellTBT.
All right, so the question is, who caught Tyrod Taylor's first Bills touchdown pass that was in that game 3 years ago today against Indianapolis? Tweet your answer at WGR550 using the hashtag TacoBellTBT. Note that texting or calling in your answer will not enter you to be in the contest. You won't be in the contest. You have to use Twitter to have a chance to win. And if you are chosen as our winner, you'll be contacted to claim your prize. Bulldog, what is today's prize?
It's a prize from Taco Bell. That's what the prize is. Hmm.
So good luck. Who caught
good luck.
Tyrod Taylor's
prize from Taco Bell.
First touchdown pass as a Bill 3 years ago today? Tweet at WGR550, at WGR550, using the hashtag TacoBellTBT.
Yeah, I'm not prepared to really divulge any more than that.
Okay, stay tuned for more information, including the answer.
Right.
So earlier, real quick here, James Conner, Le'Veon Bell, like what's a comparison? It's not exactly the same, but how about Emmitt Smith? So the Cowboys win the Super Bowl against the Bills in Pasadena. The next year, Emmitt Smith holds out.
Okay.
And they lose their opener, and then they lose to the Bills.
Right.
13-10.
Matt Darby.
Speaking of throwback,
yeah.
Matt Darby, 25 years ago, that's that long ago now, with an interception at the goal line to clinch the win for the Bills in Dallas. And after that, as if they went, okay, that does it.
Right. We just lost to the Bills.
That does it. I mean, then that was not the worst.
No,
but
no, right.
That does it. And Emmitt Smith went back to the Cowboys, and then they went on to win the Super Bowl.
Again. Beating the Bills.
Over the Bills. And Emmitt Smith was the MVP.
Right.
Of that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
All right. Joe, have you picked a winner out? Joe has, and Joe will contact you if you've won the contest. The answer is Percy Harvin.
All right.
On a fly down the right sideline. Perfect ball.
Yep. It was perfect.
Tyrod Taylor throws that ball well. Maybe they should have done more of it here because he threw a lot of right on the money deep balls, including that one, his first touchdown pass. He is not officially credited with a quarterback win for that game because on the first play, he was a wide receiver.
Some things are so stupid.
Right? Yes. Some are.
It's just so
I totally
stupid.
Agree.
Just beware someday in the future when you are trying to answer some high-stakes trivia question about quarterbacks who started for the Bills between, I don't know, let's be optimistic. Josh Allen gets really good, so at some point, how many quarterbacks started games for the Bills between Jim Kelly and Josh Allen? And you're going to be one off because you're going to forget about Matt Cassel. Like some jerkwad is going to construct a question counting Matt Cassel and deprive you of like a blooming onion.
Or a Taco Bell prize package even, perhaps.
I did say it was high stakes. Blooming onions are good.
If you could get a lot.
Yeah, right.
It would be high stakes.
Right.
All right, so Percy Harvin is our answer. We'll be back with John Clayton after a timeout. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.